Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick, and this is David Smith.
Hello.
The Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action. We're joined by Rich Hardian, the Chairman of Illinois Family Action. Got an important election coming up, Mr. Hardian. There's a lot at stake, but before we do, we want to tease folks on something that has come up. Dave?
Yeah, so we planned this recording of this podcast a couple days ago, and we wanted to talk about the upcoming election on November 6th. But we got news suddenly of a situation where we actually had to rescind one of our endorsements of our endorsed candidate for governor. And so we want to talk about that in this podcast, so stay tuned. But we don't want to put the cart before the horse. We want to talk first and foremost with Rich Hardian, who's chairman of the board of directors for Illinois Family Action, a real estate and mortgage expert, and father of—
Tycoon.
Far from that, but—
And father of four beautiful—
Yes.
—children.
Yes.
And so we want to get your perspective, lifelong Illinoisan, and pretty much, right?
Yes. Actually, 1980 is when I came to Illinois.
That's definitely a lifetime.
Yeah, so 38 years, I guess. Yeah.
But you want to talk about the importance of voting, and that's really a good place to start because, unfortunately, if you look at the numbers, we know that maybe 60% of Christians don't actually exercise their God-given right to vote and be part of the government. And why is that a bad idea?
Well, I mean, it's a bad idea because we're letting the enemy, the other side, have authority and say in terms of not only our culture, but ultimately in our family.
Yeah.
I mean, we are abdicating a God-given right.
Abdicating is a good word.
To the other team,
right?
And I think it's imperative that each of us in our own family not only teach our children how to vote and why we vote, but it's also imperative that we get with our pastors and our Christian leaders and help them understand the necessity of communicating to their congregation, their people, why they have to vote. I mean, so many of our issues and the issues—
Vote biblically.
Vote biblically, and that's it. The issues that we talk about at Illinois Family are biblical issues. It's abortion. It's marriage. These things have been commanded to us by God to protect life, to protect the family.
That's right.
And I think our pastors have been, not all of them, but many of them have bought into the lie that they should not talk about these subjects. And so we don't hear these things from the pulpit very often.
So a lot of the pain that our culture is experiencing is a direct result of the culture not following biblical principles, right? And so, I mean, for example, let's just take the horrific murder rate in Chicago and the crime rate and the gang problem. It traces back to the fact that there are not fathers in the home.
Exactly.
The young men are growing up. 72% of them are being born in the black community to a home without a father.
Exactly.
And so the biblical principles. But then we have outrageous syphilis rates in Illinois, too. We're leading the nation in that sexually transmitted disease. Well, that's only as a result of not following God's model for sexuality, which is abstinence until marriage, and then monogamy thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
If you are monogamous with one wife, with one spouse, you ain't going to get any sexually transmitted diseases. Isn't that funny how God worked that out?
It is, and it really goes bigger. I spent probably 7 or 8 of my years in and around the south and southwest side of Chicago within those African-American communities, the Hispanic communities, and the one common denominator that was missing so much was the family.
Yes.
And I think the family was broken because so much of their culture had been given over to government teaching, government interaction, and
right.
The church.
A reliance on the government.
Oh, completely. And it devastated these communities because any of the monies that was going in and out of the communities ended up going back to government.
Sure.
It didn't stay within the community. Yep. And if we want to help these communities, we need family back
That's
into
right.
these communities.
And you could say that family is the first government ordained by God.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And so we're missing that. And so, okay, so bringing it back to our main topic here mm-hmm. is why is it important to vote? What we're saying here, and please, you know, add on to this, is if we really love our neighbors, which I believe is, you know, the second great command. It is the second great command. Mm-hmm. You know, love your neighbors as yourselves. We want to see them thrive. We want to see them doing well and be productive members of society. And so when we're going to the voting booth, we want to see biblical principles for family life being legislated and being upheld in the government, not undermined, which is what all too happens with our liberal friends. They're undermining those things because we love our neighbors. This is what should motivate us, not only for our own family, immediate family members, and our economic well-being, but for the family members of our communities, our state, our nation, and the economic well-being. What say you?
Well, I mean, is it too much to just say that I agree and leave it at that?
No,
right?
That's
I mean,
right.
You know, and I'll do a plug for our voter guide here. And David,
yes.
you and your staff have done an amazing job on the Illinois Family Institute voter guide. And I encourage everyone
yes.
to pick one of these up and take a look, because we list out 12, 13 questions that the
right.
candidate needs to respond to. And they are about life. They are about marriage and family. These are biblical principles. And it's important that we have our say in government by
That's
voting
right.
for the candidates that we know will honor godly biblical principles.
That's
and,
right.
And that's essentially why we are doing this
And
podcast.
Those principles will redound down to the community for the well-being and the happiness of everybody else. And that's the key. Nobody's here saying you have to live a biblical way. But, you know, what we're doing is trying to uphold and say this is the way you should live, right?
Yeah.
This is the example we should all be living. This is the way we should go for happiness, healthiness, productivity, and all that.
Oh, absolutely. And I would, you know, I would almost substitute the word should with the word wiser. Like we,
yeah,
you know,
right, right.
God's principles are for the Christian family, but they are also equally functional for the non-Christian, for the non-believer.
Absolutely.
These principles do lead to a better life, a more joyful life, a more peaceful life, and a life without so much struggle.
That's
they
right.
really do. So when we decide to vote and uphold the principles of marriage, or we uphold the principles of life, we are really upholding a principle that's good for all people, right? And we've seen the discourse in this country right now as to what happens when you don't uphold these things, right?
That's right.
And, you know, one thing, and I know this is not probably where we wanted to go, but oftentimes we conservatives, we forget that morality is what governs all good legislature, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you can't just look at the financial benefits of any potential voting person. Like, you know, and we may talk about Rauner on this call or something like that. A lot of our fellow conservatives want to vote for him specifically because they think he's going to be a better tax policy or something like that. But in the case of Rauner, he's abdicated a life. He's consistently voted for taking of human life
That's
in
right.
the womb.
That's right.
And you can't go for a financial principle or something like that without thinking of the moral principle. And the moral principle always trumps the financial principle because you can't trust anybody who's not going to vote for life.
That's right. And a lot of folks will say you can't legislate morality. And that is absolutely 110% false, because even when our lawmakers say, well, we're going to raise the speed limit to 70 on our expressways, they're saying by default, going beyond 70 is wrong. Right?
Well,
so they're saying it's not right. And morality is your definition or the state's definition of what is right and what is wrong. And so when they say you shouldn't go over 70 miles an hour on the expressway, they're saying that is wrong.
Yeah.
So they are legislating morality.
Well, even to bring it to more home, right? Like thou shalt not kill. I mean, we legislate that we're not supposed to kill. Thou shalt not steal. We legislate that we're not supposed to steal. Now, outside of morality, why are those things wrong? Well, because there is a moral
That's right.
basis.
There is.
We have to legislate morality in this area under God's principles because it's better for mankind.
Well, in Exodus, you know, they're told to pick from among themselves wise and honest men to lead them. Mm-hmm. Well, Exodus 18:21, I think that is a phenomenal guide for all Christians. We should be looking for men and women of honesty and wisdom to be in offices of political power.
Absolutely.
Whether it's local township, county board, state representative, all the way up the food chain to president of the United States.
And we won't even mention judges right now, right?
Oh, my goodness. That's a story for another time.
But yes. That is part of the scripture that you just quoted.
Oh, it is, absolutely. Yeah. The problem is we've been doing a voter guide since 1992 at Illinois Family Institute, and we've tried a couple election cycles to get judges included on this, mm-hmm. But they won't respond. And so, you know, the typical thing is, you know, I cannot comment on a case I may preside over.
an issue, yeah.
So you know, and actually an old politician friend of mine used to say they can't hang you for something you never said. So I think the judges are taking that to heart. You know, these candidates for judicial office are saying, I'm not going to go on record because it could hurt us.
Right, right. Well, you know what? Let's use this as an opportunity to once again just state the, you know, first of all, finding out who to vote for, it's difficult. They don't put out good information.
Right.
So as we end this particular part of our segment, let's do a plug again for the Illinois Voters Guide.
Right. Illinois Family Institute Voter Guide. And you can find that at illinoisfamily.org. Yep. Or you can call the IFI office and ask for bulk quantities. Listen, these voter guides do us no good on November 7th. They're all going to the recycler, so I'm sitting on about 15,000 voter guides left out of 60,000. So if you want some, order 708-781-9328. That is our phone number in illinoisfamily.org.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. We will continue our conversation with Rich Hardian after this.
People are talking a lot about healthcare these days. There are so many changes, so many questions. As Christians, where can we turn for answers? At Samaritan Ministries, we believe the answer is in Jesus Christ working in the lives of his people, demonstrating Christian community by sharing each other's medical needs, scripturally, faithfully. Here's just part of Brett's story in his own words.
When I reflect on Samaritan Ministries, the biggest thing that stands out to me is that we, as a body of believers, are living out New Testament Christianity. This idea that Samaritan has adopted from the book of Acts should permeate all parts of our lives, not just health sharing. It has a profound impact on people like me and my wife.
Brett is just one of over 200,000 members who are sharing over $23 million in medical needs each month. If you'd like to experience what it's like to partner with other Christians for your healthcare needs, and you'd like to see what other members are saying, visit mysamaritanstory.org.
This discrimination came with a price tag. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. Calvin Cochran was the single most decorated firefighter in America. Starting his career in a segregated Louisiana firehouse, he overcame poverty and racial discrimination to eventually run FEMA's fire administration. In 2015, after returning to Atlanta as the city's fire chief, Cochran was suspended without pay and eventually fired for self-publishing a book written on his own time with permission from the city that taught the historic Christian position about sex and marriage. He was fired for discrimination, not for anything he'd done as fire chief, but for views expressed in the book. In 2017, a judge found the city's policies unconstitutional, and last week he received a settlement of over $1 million. I'm thankful this good man received justice. I'm thankful that the Alliance Defending Freedom was there. And most of all, I'm thankful for Chief Cochran, who throughout the trial illustrated the faith, kindness, and courage Christians will increasingly need in the days ahead. I'm John Stone Street.
Thanks once again for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Lurick here, joined by David Smith, the Executive Director of Illinois Family Institute.
Yo.
And Illinois Family Action. We are joined by Rich Hardian, the Chairman of Illinois Family Action. We're talking about the election and, oh, everything surrounding the election, and a big thing happened.
Yes.
Sam McCann.
Yeah. So as we record this podcast today, We got word yesterday, which was Wednesday, middle of the week Wednesday, that Sam McCann had mailed to Tom Morrison's district. Tom Morrison is a staunch pro-life, pro-family, economic conservative Republican who actually defeated a rhino a few years ago when he ran initially. But he sent out a mailer attacking Tom as a runner rhino, a Bruce Runner rhino. I mean, this is so laughable. I mean, it is almost as though you're calling Jim Jordan or David Bratt a rhino in Congress. It is ridiculous. There is absolutely zero credibility to that claim. Tom is one of the top three, maybe four, conservative voices in Springfield. And so I called Senator Sam McCann, who, by the way, for the last 8 years has served in Springfield, has a pro-life, pro-family voting record, all but the gambling issue. You know, he's been a good, consistent vote. But I had to call and say, what is going on? What are you doing? I mean, this guy is polling at maybe 6% in the state. He's got plenty of work to do. Why is he meddling in a state house race and attacking a would-be ally on the pro-life issue, right?
Yeah, I mean, and not only is he's attacking a strong conservative, a fiscal conservative,
right,
but he's actually attacking his own base. Like, the people that are going to vote for him are the same people that support Tom Morrison.
And in the process, enabling a pro-abortion Democrat to win.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is ridiculous. And he just kept calling him a runner-right, which is ridiculous. And so I warned Sam. I said, Sam, you've got to pull back on this, or I have to go to my board and rescind our – well, you got to do what you got to do. And he hung up on me. And so it was like, are you kidding me?
Well,
go ahead.
You know, I was just going to say, like, his actions to me
– yeah.
And I'll just say it right now. This is my opinion.
Yep.
His actions to me are premeditated.
Yeah, it would appear to be.
And
yeah.
I believe that this was planned out long in advance, especially when he filled out our voter guide questionnaire. This is my opinion.
Yeah.
And I suspect that after the governor's election, that you will see this man with a nice job and some form of
economical
gain.
Well, and that's some of the speculations, is maybe he'll get a job
with the Pritzker administration.
That's one of the speculations.
Yep.
Or with a...
a union.
Ties to a lobbying activity.
Sure.
With
absolutely.
One of the unions.
Absolutely.
And of course, those lobbyists, you know, pay former state lawmakers very handsomely.
And we know those unions are tied to Mike Madigan.
Yes.
That's right. Well, you know, before all this, just I'm going to put my cards on the table. And the board of directors, I think you can speak for them, Rich.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were coming at this pretty naive, but trustworthy, trusting, you know, that Sam may be representing. Yeah, he's getting money from unions, but, you know, there's a lot of conservative union workers. So why not? You know, we get it. Fine. Sure. I mean, Donald Trump won Michigan and Ohio and, you know,
Pennsylvania
because of conservative union workers. OK.
Yes.
So so, hey, why not? But when this happened, when he's attacking a staunch ally of ours, a pro-life ally, it becomes more credible, these complaints, that he's working for the unions or mm-hmm. working for Madigan, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. And you know, frankly, Rauner is going to be helped from this, right? Because
yeah.
so many of us that were willing to vote for him because he was what we considered a pro-life advocate,
yeah.
right? You know, now who's our decision? We either are going to not vote.
Right.
We're certainly not going to vote for
Pritzker. Well, so what to do now?
Right.
We've got four candidates at the top of the ticket. We got J.B. Pritzker, who mm-hmm. is a left-wing Democrat. We've got Bruce Runner, who's a left-wing Republican.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We've got...
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Republican.
We got a Sam McCann, who seems to have lost his political senses.
Right.
And then we've got a Libertarian candidate named Cash Jackson, who refuses to fill out our survey, but calls himself pro-life, even though on his website says that we can have the greatest freedom for the greatest number of people, which means no regulations on abortion. abortion, which allows the murder of human beings.
Which means he doesn't truly
understand. So he's not really pro-life.
Well, he doesn't truly understand that it is a baby. It
right.
is life.
And so what do we do, Rich, with these four choices at the top of the ticket?
Well, I mean, for me, it does change as I think about it almost, I wouldn't say hourly, but daily. And this is just, this came up yesterday, and I've asked the question, so do you just not vote for governor and just leave it blank?
I have a suggestion.
That's probably what I'm going to do, but go ahead, David.
Right. Undervoting is a legitimate thing, and it will not invalidate your ballot. You can vote all the way down the ticket. If you want to leave the gubernatorial candidates alone, that's good. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fill in the write-in candidate spot, and I'm going to write in none of the above.
That'll say something.
It's going to say something. And if thousands of Christians do that in Illinois, it might send a small message that none of these guys are acceptable. Now let's address this question, too, while we're at it. And before we move down to our General Assembly races that we've endorsed, there are those who are going to say, but Dave, you got to vote for Bruce Runner. He's at least better than J.B. Pritzker. And if you do what you're saying here, not voting or voting for none of the above.
Better on taxes, maybe the remap.
That's right. So you've got to hold your nose and vote for this guy. What say you, Rich, to that?
To me, the entire life issue is central to the way that I vote. I cannot ever cast a ballot for somebody that I know is going to take the life of a child. To
right.
me, it is...
Who approves of it?
Yeah, I call it an abortion barometer, meaning
yeah.
that if somebody is for abortion, they'll never get my vote.
Right.
So that's your hurdle to even start,
correct.
Right?
Yep.
That's it, number
yep.
one. And in Runner, I'm just going to posit this for people. Look, he not only signed House Bill 40, taxpayer funding of abortion, right? So he's cheerleading, but he and his wife personally gave $50,000 to Planned Parenthood last year, 2017. I'm sorry, that's abortion cheerleading. That is ridiculous, and he is that exposes him to me to be a very wicked man. Then you have all the other positions that he held.
Well, he signed the abortion referral law.
Right, so he's forcing pro-lifers to give abortion referrals, right?
Right.
And what else? He signed a bill to ban reparative therapy for minor children, so professional therapists. So I mean, really? And then sanctuary state, which is, you know, people say, oh, no, it's not really. It prohibits the Senate Bill 31, which he signed into law, prohibits law enforcement from enforcing on their own federal immigration laws without a warrant.
And this is why we call him a rhino.
Yes.
I mean, that's the definition of a rhino.
That's
he
right.
is voting for all of the policies that a typical Democrat would put on the ballot.
So when he ran 4 years ago, he said he had no social agenda. And then when House Bill 40 was coming up, he promised the Republican caucus he would veto it. He told Cardinal Blaise Supich he would veto it. He announced it publicly to the press he was going to veto it. But when the rubber came down to meet the road, he signed it.
Yep.
He signed it under great duress and pressure from the pro-abortion forces in Illinois. He's a liar.
Yes. Yes.
Well,
he's a traitor.
For those who would say that, yes, he will be better on taxes and the remap,
yep.
I would ask, do you really think he won't be outfoxed by Mike Madigan on taxes and the remap?
Exactly, Monty. Good point. The fact is, he caved in on the income tax hike already, right? He was overridden,
yeah.
And Madigan drew the map 10 years ago. It's not going to change all that much.
No, but also look at his track record.
Right.
Right.
Can we trust him?
No. I mean, do we really want another term with the results that we've gotten?
Well, and here's something I wrote on my Facebook page just recently. You know, somebody said, do you really want J.B. Pritzker as our governor? Now, want has nothing to do with this. Do I want to have a Democrat at the helm when Illinois crashes and burns? Yeah, I'd rather have a Democrat at the helm.
Yes.
Let them take the blame, and then we can get somebody like a Jeannie Ives to rally around and rebuild this state.
Yeah,
right.
Well, my fear is, though, because of the lack of a serious conservative candidate at the top,
mm-hmm.
it's going to hurt the down ballot races.
Well, you know, this election, right.
This election, especially for like a Tom Morrison.
Right. Well, we can't do that. We've got to come out. We've got to come out strong. There are a number of Republican congressmen that need our help. But mm-hmm. we have a list of House members in Illinois that we have endorsed that desperately need our help. We got to come out and vote. And then, of course, there's county races and the judicial races. Hopefully you know about those and you're going to elect the right people there. But we got to come out and vote. Rich, let's talk about some of the folks that we've endorsed in this election cycle for House.
Right. So for District 46, Jay Kinsler.
Yes, Dr. Jay Kinsler is running in the Villa Park, Carroll Stream area of the state in Glen Ellen area. He is a wonderful man. He's a surgeon. He's an Army officer. I want to say lieutenant or major. I can't remember his exact rank.
He's military.
He's military. He's he's Army. And he would be a wonderful choice for the Illinois House. What else do we have?
District 48, Peter Breen.
Well, Peter Breen. Oh, my God. What can we say about Peter Breen? He also defeated a rhino a couple years ago. He is a hardcore pro-life spokesman. He's an attorney by trade with the Thomas More Society, which is a pro-life law firm downtown Chicago. Mm-hmm. And he is on the floor debating bill after bill after bill. I tell you, Rich, in my time lobbying in Springfield, I don't think there's been anyone better representing the conservative viewpoint on all these bills that come up. By the way, there were over 10,000 bills in Springfield introduced during this session, this last 100th session of the General Assembly.
Wow.
So, I mean, he's busy, and he's debating these bills, asking questions, opposing these bills. We need to reelect Peter Breen.
Yes. How about District 54, Thomas Morrison?
Well, we talked about Tom, and he's under attack. He's got a left-wing opponent. He's
a well-funded left-wing opponent.
Yeah, you know, and in terms of that, from what we understand, there's been outside money coming in that is from the Madigan coffers, so to speak, in tune of over $300,000. And that raises the question, in these local elections, do we really want outside people coming in and buying off these elections with these attack campaigns and things that are just It bothers me that I think that somebody from an outside district could come in here, spend money, and try to change how we want to vote.
I suspect that the unions are really targeting Tom's district because he is a right-to-work kind of guy. He's out there trying to economically. Now, this is not one of our issues at Illinois Family Action, right? Mm-hmm. We're not right-to-work. We're not pro-union. We're not anti-union. But the fact is, that's why I think they're coming after him, and they would love to pick this up for a Democrat. Folks, if there's anyone that you need to support, even if you're not outside, even if you're not in his district, right? Make a donation, a small donation, $25, $50 on his website. I did yesterday. I gave a $50 donation to Tom Morrison. It was my second one of his campaign cycle because I believe in Tom. He needs our support, and many hands make light work. So if all of our listeners, all of us here at this table, did $50 for Tom Morrison, well, he'd have a little bit more in the gas tank.
Yeah, well, let's almost do that as a call to action, right?
And
for those
of
us that are listening, even if you're not in his district, he's saving you money. Tom was the very first politician to not accept the guaranteed pension for life. Guy works 2 years, he gets a pension for life. That is a payoff system that our Illinois government does.
Important to emphasize, he's not taking a pension. He's not going to rip you off long, you know, in retirement.
No. And, you know, I've seen him go for the cheap rent. He's not over. I mean, he's protecting our pocketbook.
He's frugal.
So vote for him. Go
and
donate
support
25.
Him. Anybody at all. Tom Morrison. That's what we're saying. All right. Who else is on our list?
District 86, Rick Laib.
Okay. Laib. I know it's spelled L-A-I-B.
Yep.
But he is a Will County sheriff. And this is the first time he's running against a really entrenched Democrat. But you're going to love this. I got to read you one of the things he said at a town hall candidate forum, in front of about 200 people. He was asked, what would he do to bring tax relief to Illinois? And after giving a few suggestions, he said, hey, a long-term plan would include abandoning abortion and letting the 30,000 5,000 people we destroy every year grow up, get a job, and contribute to the economy.
Amen.
Right?
Think about that.
That's what we need. Bold colors, strong leaders. We need Rick Leib in that seat.
Yeah, excellent. District 97, Mark Batenik.
Batenik, yes. He ran, the first time he ran, his yard signs were a big bat symbol like Batman, you know, the Batman. But Batenik is an economic genius. He's also pro-life, pro-family. But he is down there scrutinizing the budget, calling attention to the problems that we are having. He took Rhino Tom Cross's seat in Plainfield a few years ago, and we really need him. You know, Madigan would love to gain that seat, but we can't in the far southwest suburbs of Chicago. By the way, Rick Leib, is from the Joliet Shorewood area. Mark Batenik is from the Plainfield area, and we need him.
Excellent. District 111, Mike Babcock.
Mike Babcock. This is the second time he's running. He should have good name ID. He's running against a very conservative Democrat. Now, this is downstate. This is Alton, Illinois area, Metro East St. Louis area. But, you know, here's the bad thing about even conservative Democrats. We love them, but they support Michael Madigan. Mm-hmm. And so
they reelect him.
That's right. So Mike Babcock is a good pro-life, pro-family Christian who deserves our support and endorsement.
All right. We have District 112, Dwight K.
Dwight K. What can you say about Dwight? He, again, this is the Metro East St. Louis area, Edwardsville, Collinsville area. He is a former state lawmaker who was beaten by a Democrat who is totally sold out, left wing. I don't think she represents the district. Dwight K. is a solid Christian man. He's got great name ID because he was a state rep. He should get the nod here and beat this Democrat.
Yes, and then we also have Amy Grant.
Right, Amy Grant. I'm hearing that she's in a very tight race. Amy Grant is from the Wheaton area. She is running for the seat vacated by Jeannie Ives. When she ran for governor, she couldn't run for her state seat. So now Amy Grant, who is a solid pro-life, pro-family candidate, is running for that seat, but the Democrats see an opportunity to flip it to a Democrat. We can't allow that. We need to support Amy Grant and make sure that seat stays in pro-life hands.
Absolutely. Now, these candidates we have specifically endorsed at Illinois Family Action, and we have a long list of individuals that we would recommend you seriously consider based off of the answers to the questions that we've asked them.
We have other endorsed candidates,
absolutely,
but these are like our top-tier one candidates that we want to see reelected.
Do we have some honorable mentions here?
Absolutely. Go ahead, Monty. Tell us
about that. Marilyn Smolinski.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah. I hope I'm saying that correctly.
Yeah. You know what? She's
55th district.
She's running a hard campaign. That's another great candidate. Go ahead. Who else you got?
Julian Burness.
Jillian is running against a Democrat in
Michelle
the Schaumburg
Mussman.
Area, Michelle Mussman.
56.
That's an area that we think we could pick up, but it's uncertain. You know, we need a good turnout to be able to pick up that seat.
Alicia Benford.
Oh, you know about that because you live in that area.
Right. Well, she's 98th District, Joliet, Bolingbrook. Unfortunately, I'm not in her district.
She is a black Republican.
Conservative.
Very conservative and articulate.
Yep.
We'd love to see her. Now, who is she running against?
Goodness, Natalie Manley.
Natalie Manley.
Who's
that's right.
Very left-wing.
Very left-wing. So,
yeah.
And there's others. So visit our website, Illinois Family Action. It's ifiaction.org. And we have a whole page dedicated to our endorsements and honorable mentions and recommendations. Now, we have a second level recommendations because some candidates may be bad on our Tier 2 issues. Gambling, for example. And so they don't qualify for a full endorsement, but they do qualify for a recommendation over their opponent, who is probably much worse.
Yes. I mean, and I think it's safe to say that all of our endorsements or recommendations are pro-life. They understand the sanctity of
absolutely.
Life.
That's a qualifier. You have to be pro-life.
Yes.
If they're wrong on life, they're just wrong.
They're just wrong.
I like that.
You know what, though? It does give you insight into their worldview. So we've had people, by the way, who were pro-life, but they had the rape and incest exception. And once you explain it, many times they say, oh, that exception is pretty inconsistent, isn't it?
It is. It is. It is very inconsistent. I mean, this is going to sound simple and maybe even silly, but life is life. This is a human life that is in the most sacred spot that a baby could be.
And we should protect that life, even if the dad or the father, the sperm donor, was a terrible sinner.
Yes, absolutely.
Baby didn't sin.
That's right. Protect life. Well, Rich, we probably need to wrap this up, but we need to do another podcast with you very soon. What do you say, Monty?
Well, we'll need new batteries. But
in our podcast thing, yes.
All right. Well, let's do that. Let's think about that. And listen, once again, people need to get a hold of the voter guide. The phone number is 708-781-9328. And you can also go online
at illinoisfamily.org.
Right. All right. Well, until next time, blessings to Rich Hardian with Illinois Family Action.
Thank you.
And God bless you folks. Remember, please support the work of the Illinois Family Institute and tell a friend about Illinois Family Spotlight. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org. And look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.